Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is the place to be to become your calmest, happiest and most confident self. I'm Chloe Brotheridge, the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl, which is coming on the 2nd of May 2019. And today I'm talking to the incredible Christina Carlson. She is the founder and creative director of the global Swedish design and stationery business Keke K. And you've probably seen their amazing products, really gorgeous notebooks and stationery. And she has 102 Keke K stores worldwide. She's also a sought-after speaker, a passionate learner, a self-improver, and she's a mother of two. And Christina has a big, crazy dream. She wants to inspire and empower 101 million people around the world, just like you, to write down three dreams and go and chase them. She's also the author of the brilliant book, Your Dream Life Starts Here, that helps you to do just that. So in this discussion, we talk about the most powerful questions that Christina asks people to help them to identify what their dreams are and to really think bigger and to explore what their dreams could be. We dig into what stops us from living our dreams. And let's face it, you know, there is a lot that stops us and gets in the way. So we really get into that. Christina tells us how she stays calm whilst living a very full life of traveling around the world and doing talks and working on her business. And she also shares her rather unusual motivational tool that really lit a fire under me and made me really determined to live my own dream life. And just to remind you that my new book, Brave New Girl, is going to be available soon, and it's available to pre-order now on Amazon, on Audible and Waterstones, and it's all about helping you to become your most confident self. If you're a people pleaser, if you've ever struggled with imposter syndrome, that's feeling like you're a fraud and you're about to get found out at any moment. If you struggle with your self-belief, if you struggle to ask for what you want or say no, then this book was absolutely written for you. So definitely check it out if that resonates. So let's get into the interview with Christina. Welcome, Christina. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Can you please tell us what it is that you do for people that maybe don't know and how you got to where you are today and how you came to write your amazing book?
Yes, so I have a business called Keke K, and we inspire people to live their best life every day, but we are also a retailer, so we sell products that help people live their best life. So we have stores in five countries, being Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong and the UK. We sell online to 147 countries, which fascinates me every time I say that.
Wow.
You know, amazing internet that when you can sell things online. And I started a business one morning at 3 a.m. I woke my partner Paul up and I asked him, what am I going to do with my life, for the fifth time that night, I think. And he said, why don't we write down what's important to you? So at 3 a.m. I wrote down that I wanted to drive to work every day and absolutely loving what I was doing. I wanted to have a business on my own. I wanted to have a connection with Sweden. This is my home country. And I wanted to work with Swedish design because that was my passion. And then I wanted to make $500 a week. So that was kind of my 3 a.m. list, and that was my like first putting my dreams on paper. And then because I wanted to have my own business, I thought I'm going to start with setting up a beautiful home office. I love beautiful things. I like to be organized and inspired. And I went out to buy some products and I just couldn't find anything. And then I didn't get depressed. That's not the right word. But, you know, I was like, this is boring. And then I got super excited and I said to Paul, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to open beautiful Swedish design stores around the world in my favorite cities, obviously being London, one of them, which we have stores in. Started my first store open 2001. So it's been quite a while and now in 5 countries. But the reason why I decided to write my book, Your Dream Life Starts Here, was because I do a lot of talks and I always have a handful of people coming up after asking, where should I start or what's the next steps? And we do a lot of products at Kiki K that help people live their best life. But there was never one product that had all my tools in one book. And I'm really passionate about dreaming, because I think everything should start with dreaming, because I think sometimes when you set goals, you actually just look at where you are today and stretch yourself a little bit, hopefully, if you're setting goals. But dreaming can take you into a completely different way of maybe completely change your life or completely look at different things that you might not have thought of, because it feels maybe out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Or it might feel that you are not the right person, or, you know, because sometimes we get really influenced by peers or parents or, you know, social media, whatever it is. So sometimes we go on the wrong path, but when you actually start dreaming and thinking, if I could do anything with my life, that takes you into another direction. So that's why I wrote the book, because I feel like I wanted to share the way I do dreaming and share the tools that I'm using.
Amazing, amazing. And your book is incredibly inspiring. Every single page has got some just amazing, you know, little message that you're not going to forget, or, you know, a tool that you can use. And it just creates this structure around dreaming and getting you to open your mind to different possibilities and actually start to take some action on that. So I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
I know one of the things you mentioned in the beginning of the book is the power of putting pen to paper. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a bit, and why is that so powerful for us?
Well, I think first, it's really good to get off our devices a little bit, but that has nothing to do about it. But I think that's one thing that it would be good to actually encourage people to put their phones away. But there's a lot of research, similar to actually to meditation, where you write things down, you remember better. And I encourage people to write down all of their dreams, regardless if they make them happen or not, and putting pen to paper, because there's some research done that you remember much more that you write down. You know how sometimes you write things on a to-do list and you actually don't even have to look at it because you know it. And then I think we have so many thoughts a day, and if you are putting all your thoughts onto paper, you're more likely to remember them, because sometimes we have so many brilliant ideas, but then we get so busy. So putting pen to paper is something, obviously, I'm very passionate about, because that's something that we do at Kiki K, but it's also really good if you want to really live your best life.
Because there is something about writing something physically, and the physical action of writing, that is just not quite the same if we write a note in our phone.
No.
And it's in black and white. It's a physical thing if it's written down in a notebook.
So. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I love, so obviously writing down things for yourself, but one of my things, there's two things that I really love about writing that has nothing to do with actually writing things, goals and dreams, but journaling your thoughts and your ideas and actually taking time to connect with yourself, but do it on paper, is a beautiful thing. And another thing that I do, and I often do when I travel, and I spend a lot of time on planes and on my own in hotels or restaurants or whatever, cafes or whatever it is, and I often bring cards and I write cards when I travel. And it's such a beautiful thing to do, because you can text someone really quickly, but actually taking the time to write a card or a letter is a gift for yourself, but also for the person who actually are very unlikely to get more than bills and commercial things. So I do really love taking the time to write.
That's so lovely. Yeah. I need to do more of that, actually. Yeah. I'm sure I did write a letter or a card to a friend recently and it made her cry. And Yeah, it's always good when you make your friends cry.
Absolutely.
For good reasons.
And, you know, I think we often do at Kike, we do cards that it's not just, I mean, we obviously do a lot of birthday cards, but you sometimes just with a beautiful quote on it or a little saying or thank you for being you or whatever it is. And it's so nice to do. And it's not just nice for the person. It's actually really nice to actually take time to think about that person. So it's a gift for both of you. So, yeah, I encourage people to write more cards for sure.
Definitely. Such a good idea. So for people listening who are thinking, I want to start dreaming now, where can people start? What is the first kind of step to doing that?
Yeah, so I there's a handful of questions that I think everyone should start with. And that is to, what would you do if you couldn't fail? I think so many of us think that they're not good enough or couldn't do things, but if you ask yourself, what would I do if I couldn't fail? What comes up in your mind and start writing it down, whatever comes to mind. And it's often things, for example, when I did that, and I do it all the time, but one thing that actually came up is that I would actually do more talking, do more podcasts, all those kind of things that I actually sometimes don't enjoy as much, but... and maybe feel a little bit out of my comfort zone. But if I couldn't fail, I would do more of that. So sometimes when you ask yourself, what would I do if I couldn't fail? It will take you to places that you might more not want to go because you're a little bit scared or feel anxious about. And I also ask a question, what would you do if you had all the money you needed? Because I think money often stops us to look at things that... that do, but you think you can't afford, or you know you need to work full time somewhere to do something, so you don't have time to do it. But if you had all the money in the world, what would you actually do with your life? And that often brings up dreams that you might not otherwise write down. And then I often ask a question: what would I do if I have all the knowledge and the resources? Because I think sometimes we think we have to be so good at everything before we start. And I think on my podcast I had Gretchen Rubin who wrote the Happiness Project.
Amazing.
And we were talking on the podcast that she said to her girls, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And it's one thing that I have on my vision board, because it's such a good reminder that sometimes we can actually jump into things without being perfect at it. So asking that question, what would you do if you had all the knowledge and the resources? Because sometimes we might think that we have the knowledge, but not, you know, the tools, whatever they are, the computers or the tools to do whatever we want to do. So if you had that, what would you actually do with your life? And then I often ask also, what would you do if you had all the energy in that you needed to do it? Because sometimes I think that we limit ourselves because we feel like we're tired or we're busy or whatever. But if you actually have all the energy and everything you needed to do all your dreams, what would they be? And then start writing. And I, in my book, I have space for 101, but I think you can actually get much more than that. But some people feel really overwhelmed with the 101, but it's not about the amount. It's just really, if you could do anything in your life, what would that be? And I always try to, in my book, I also talk about that life is short, that we sometimes have such a full days or busy days that we forget to stop and really think about what is important to me. And if I'll get, my dream is to live till I'm 120.
Good,
so let's see. One of my dreams in my, you know, out of my 101. And even if I do get to live to 120, I feel like life is short. So that reminds us to really think about what we want to do in life. And I love encouraging people to think about that life is short without having an illness or someone passing away or a breakup or whatever it is. Sometimes we need some crisis to actually really connect with ourselves. But if we don't have that, let's try to not get there and think about what is important for us. And if you were to live 220, what do you want to fit in? And when you think about all that, there's even an exercise, how many months you have to live.
I've done this. I've worked out. I've got 804. That really made me think, actually. So, yeah, that really kind of... 'cause I mean, we're in March. Today's the 1st of March where we're recording this, and January and February of 2019 have already gone by, and that's two of my 804 that are left. It's quite that did kind of light a fire under me, actually. Yeah, made me think.
And isn't it? It's a lot of people. I when I did the draft and I shared the book, there was mixed feelings about this exercise that I have in the book. And I encourage people to think about if they were to die in 3 years' time, what would you do differently today? Mm. Having the same health, assuming that. So this is just an exercise to make sure that we all understand that. I think we all know that we're going to die. So we all know that, but sometimes we kind of don't think about it. So my exercise in the book, Life is Short, is about thinking if you were to die in 3 years' time and you have the same health, what would you do differently? And it often gets you connected to your heart versus your head, because sometimes we are so driven by our heads to fit in so much, and there's so much amazing things. But if you were to die in 3 years, you often then think about the stuff that's really important that connects with your heart, and that's often, you know, calling your parents more or spending more time with your loved ones, kids or whatever, friends, or you know sometimes taking the time to write a card or write or call someone or whatever it is. So it's a good exercise to do, and it's a really reminder that at the end of our life, we and only we ourselves had the choice to do what we wanted to do, even though sometimes we think that we are stuck in a job or stuck in a certain country or whatever it is. If we have the freedom, and I'm assuming most of our listeners have the freedom to choose what we can do in our life, and it's such a good reminder to really make sure that you do everything, isn't it? It's kind of scary when you hear the man saying it. Yeah. Reminds me, but it's good.
Yeah, and I think it's so easy to just get caught up in the busyness of life. You get your head down. I've just got to get myself through this next few months, and suddenly 6 months have gone by, and we put things off, don't we? And we don't allow ourselves to dream and to think bigger. And I love what you said about what would you do if you couldn't fail?
Yeah.
You know, so many of us, myself included, and also I think it's something that goes hand in hand with anxiety, is this fear of failure, fear of making a fool of yourself. And so we don't even dare to think about what could be possible for us, because we just constrict ourselves and keep ourselves small.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't hurt to think about it and just to open your mind, and then who knows where that might lead after that.
Yeah, and I think also it's not all about doing more. It's about doing what is right for you. In my book, I reference Bronnie Ware's book, and I'm not sure if you read that, The Five Regrets of the Dying. And the most, so she was a palliative, for those people who haven't read the book, she was an Australian palliative caretaker who interviewed people who were dying about their regrets in life. And the most common regret, the number one, was that people, when they came to the end of their life, they wished they lived a life that was true to themselves. And you know, if we are healthy and still have many years to go, it's an amazing reminder that that you really want to live a life that is true to yourself, whatever that is. It doesn't mean that you have to start a global business or write a book or do more. It could be the absolute opposite, you know, spending more time in nature. We talked about that earlier when we were having a conversation, that, you know, the small things are often the ones that that is making the big things. You know, for me, that's like writing cards and, you know, go for walks and having my holy hour in the morning where I spend time just with myself. And things like that is as important as the big dreams. But it's important to make sure that we know that life is short.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's interesting to think about what is true for yourself, because we can look at people on social media and think, I should be living a life like that. I should be having a big wedding. I should be having children. I should be doing these things. But actually, maybe those things aren't right for us. Maybe we want a quieter life or a busier life or something that's different to other people around us. And actually getting clear on what we actually do want, I think is really important, and what is important to us.
Yeah.
So the 101 dreams that you encourage people to write in your book. I came to your book launch dinner, which was amazing, with amazing people. And at that event, you asked us to start to fill this in. And I've noticed that I have actually achieved a couple of them already.
Yeah, beautiful.
In the couple of months since then. So why do you think it's important to write a big list of these? Why 101?
Well, it's really just to not limit our thinking. So if I had room for five, you would really struggle to put them in because you would think that they have to be the dreams. 101 dreams, you might not get to them all. So it's more just to think really big and think outside the square and do as many as you possibly can. And it's small dreams, big dreams. There's also 101 people that you want to meet in the book, which I love. And people think that that's crazy to think about 101. But the more you actually, I feel like dreaming is similar to meditation. The more you meditate, the better you become at it.
Okay.
And dreaming is the same. So I, when I'm out and about and meet some incredible people, I always ask about their dreams. And then I get inspired and I add to mine. Doesn't mean that I have to make them all come true, because we might not all have time for that in our lifetime. But it's basically just to kind of say, well, if I could do anything, you know, if I couldn't fail, what would I do? And then just start writing without constraint. Because I think if you just did 10 or 5 or whatever, then you would limit yourself. So that's more why I want to do it. And also I think, as I said before, it doesn't have to all be big dreams. It could be the small dreams as well. So to not limit ourselves and really think about the small things as well as the big dreams. And I absolutely love, I mean, I just love being that space, because it means you don't have to make them happen if you don't want to. Like goals, you often, you know, do a really structured way of, you know, when you want to achieve it, etc. Dreaming, first step is just really to think about what do I want to do in my lifetime and what way I want to fit in. It could be anything. Where do you want to live and where do you want to travel to, and things you want to buy or give or help. I mean, it just could be endless. So the 101, I feel like it's not really enough. Like I have over 400 now.
Yeah. So I can, imagine how that just gives you the free rein to just expand.
Yeah.
Get out of the box and get out of the normal way of thinking about things.
Yeah.
And just have fun with it and be creative and see what comes up. And you might surprise yourself by what you end up writing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in the end of the book, I encourage people to choose three dreams to kind of really, because, you know, one thing is to dream. You can dream all your life, but you actually want to make some of the dreams happen. So then there's a process how to get to choosing three dreams and then do some actions on them. Because I think, you know, you can write them down, but you need to take action on your dreams every single day to make them happen.
Yes, the all important action.
Yes.
Can't just dream without action. Got to actually take some steps to make it happen as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you think gets in the way of people being able to dream or to go after the things that they want?
Well, the most people that are struggling that I meet to live their dream lives are actually the most clever people. And the most clever people are the ones who were very good at school and did really well in school, got into really good schools and got into really good courses. I often meet doctors and lawyers. They're the most unhappy people. And it's, you know, and this is just based on the people that I meet. There's no research behind this. So this is just based on my own experience. But especially lawyers, where they are, law seems to be a degree where people often go to because they have really good marks, and it's a good school too. And it's, you know, you can get into many different areas when you have studied law. But then often that gets them into study for so long and doing really well with that, and then they feel like they need to do something. They studied so long, so now they need to get into to practice it, and they do, and then they realize this is not for me, because it might be that because they were really clever and they got into it, or it might be also a parent thing. Often when they're so clever, they don't want them to do something that is not really a proper degree, if you will. So I find that is the most saddest part, because they are the ones who could, they are, you know, they're so clever, they could do anything in life, and they've just gone to their wrong path. And to get people to really dream about what would they do if they couldn't fail, then they think maybe this is, you know, maybe the ladder is on the wrong wall and they can rethink it. So
a lot of my clients are lawyers, possibly because I work in the city, but also I think because having an analytical mind that makes you very good at being able to spot problems and, you know, think in that critical way means that you're more likely potentially to have anxiety, which means you're more likely to maybe, I don't know, have constraints about yourself or question things or always spot the reason something won't work rather than the reason something could work.
Yeah. And I also think that the people that I meet forget that they're actually in charge of their own life, because it all depends on, of course, how you know, how you've been brought up. But I think that sometimes we forget that only we, ourselves, are the ones who can change. Like you could blame everything around you, but in the end of the day, you and only you can make the difference. And I think sometimes we forget that we are in charge of our own life. And, you know, we might have a great job, and there might be, you might be the number one supporter if you have a family or whatever it is. But in the end of the day, it's your life. And that's why I think doing an exercise on, you know, what you want to actually do in your lifetime is a really good one. And dream, your dream life, what would that be if you could do anything? And sometimes we forget that we are in charge.
Do you think it's something about a sunken, I think it's called a sunken cost. Oh, I've spent 10 years in my law career, and to leave it now will be such a waste. Even though I'm miserable, I may as well continue for another 30 years.
Yes.
And don't actually realise, actually, I think you mention in your book, the time's going to pass anyway.
Yeah.
So you may as well, you know, do something that you want to do.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important, because I think, why wouldn't you? Like, if you only have one life, what wouldn't you do? And sometimes that takes a little bit of time to work out. It's a dream that they completely want to change. So sometimes having that search is actually a positive thing, because you might try a few different things and say, no, that's not for me. Or you know, for me, like when I was trying to work out what I was going to do, I did a lot of free work for, you know, volunteer things, just to kind of really get an understanding in. But I do think that it's sad that not everyone love what they do, even though it sometimes takes a bit of a tough road to get there. Sometimes it's that challenge that really, maybe, you know, sometimes we do have crisis, or we do come up with things that will change our life dramatically. And even though I think it's, one of my friends said, never waste a good crisis. I think it was actually Robin Sharma who said it, never waste a good crisis. So even if it's really tough going through it, there is often always a silver lining.
This podcast is sponsored by Sweaty Betty. With beautiful and high-performance activewear, from bum-sculpting leggings to supportive sports bras, Sweaty Betty has you covered for every single sport. From the gym to the yoga studio to, let's face it, relaxing or working from home, you'll often find me wearing my favourite activewear brand, Sweaty Betty. Their bum-sculpting leggings have become my new favourites. I have to say, I feel really good in them. They're just cut beautifully. And best of all, their leggings are built to last. They use high quality and durable fabrics. I actually have a pair of Sweaty Betty leggings from a couple of years ago that I still use and love. So Sweaty Betty are offering listeners 20% off when you enter the promo code KarmaU on their website. So you can head over to sweatybetty.com/podcasts and enter the code KarmaU, that's KarmaU, and you get 20% off. Definitely check out their stuff. I think you're going to love it.
What would you say to someone that says, I don't have time? I don't have time to dream. I'm too busy.
Well, it's the same theme. Like, you know, you're in control of your 24 hours. We all have 24 hours. And very, you know, for society, very successful or very well-known. And, you know, they often have time to exercise, and they often have time to do the things. But in the end of the day, it's priorities. You know, we can... a lot of people actually tell me that they don't have time to read. Like, I'm a really big reader, and they always say, I don't know how you have time to read so many books. And I often say, well, give me your phone and I can tell you if you have time or not. Because we spend so much time, me not saying I'm perfect in any way. I often spend way too much time on my phone than I like to, but there's also a lot of inspirational. So I'm not blaming the phone itself. It's more that sometimes we do things that it doesn't really add to your life. But if people don't have time, it's really just looking at what you spend your time on, start tracking it, and see if that's part of your dream life. And so many people that I get to meet is spending a lot of time on social media. Mm. And I think that's super inspiring in so many ways, but sometimes we spend too much time on it and it doesn't give you more. I'm always fascinated reading comments on, you know, Facebook and Instagram, and that people actually have time to care so much about something that's so unimportant. If you find yourself doing things like that, maybe just ask yourself, what would you prefer doing? And if you want to live your dream life, you have to remove some things. If you have a full life already, you need to start thinking about what's important to you. And one of my practices is to get up early. I'm not perfect in any way, and I constantly travel, so I'm very jet lagged often. So it doesn't always work depending on what time zone I am in. But I have my what I call a holy hour. So my ideal morning will start at 5, and I don't always do it. But if my ideal day would start at 5, and I do some writing, so I do unconscious writing for 3 pages, and that's often things that are bothering me, or if I have a something that I need to solve, a problem or a challenge of some sort, I write about it and I then throw it away. And so it's my journaling, 3 pages. Being a Swedish person, I often sit in front of the fireplace, I often just burn it, but it doesn't matter what you do with it. But the reason why I throw it away is because I don't want to censor my writing. So it's really whatever. So if people are listening here, are anxious about something, you know, write about it and then throw it away is a really good way of getting things out of my body. Mm-hmm. That's how I think I didn't burn out. A lot of people ask me, how did you not burn out doing, you know, the startup and the amount of hours and the crazy thing that we had to do? I think I always come back. I think it's journaling, because I never sat with things. I always wrote. And sometimes it was about the same issue for maybe 3 weeks, but I just kept writing about it, and lots of good ideas came up. And then I have another journal that I save, and that's all my good ideas and all my you know, things that I want to keep. But just that unconscious writing has been super, super helpful for me. And then I do some normal journaling, because often after that journaling I often have lots of ideas, and then, you know, so much to be grateful for and all those kind of things, dreams, quotes, thoughts, whatever, in my normal journal. And then after that I do some learning, so I read every morning, or I listen to a podcast, and then I meditate as well for 20 minutes. And at 6 a.m. I go for some kind of walk or the gym or exercise, whatever, mm-hmm. yoga, whatever it is, depends on where I am and the weather, and so I break it up. By the time I'm home at 7, I had 2 hours for myself, and I have young kids, so for me, I love my own spend time by myself. Mm-hmm. So that is just amazing to come back at 7. I feel like I can give to the family, I can give to work, and I felt like I had that time for me. So for those people who do not have time, to actually have some time to reflect, and getting up a little bit earlier is a good way to start. And when you start reflecting and start thinking and writing and having time without being connected to the world, you come up with lots of ideas and that is important to you, and then you start removing the things that is not important. That's my experience anyway.
I love that. I went through a phase of waking up at 5 when I was jet lagged.
Yeah.
I'd come from the east to west, so I was waking up really early and I was feeling great about it. Yeah. And I did it for about 2 weeks.
Time to get to bed. Well, it depends on, but I'm often in bed by 9 o'clock. So I am, you know, we were talking earlier in a different conversation where the joy of missing out, like, you know, people have FOMO, the fear of missing out. And I love being home at night. I've done a lot of functions and things in my life, and although I enjoy so many of them still, I don't have to go to everything, and I actually love my own space, and I love reading. And the morning has got me so excited that I wanted to go to bed early because I love getting up because it just feels so good. And I try to always, when I travel, to make sure that I always see a sunrise in a new city. And it's so nice to be, and often it's cities because I often seem to be traveling a lot to cities when you work. But it's so beautiful. So, you know, I bring my kids often when I travel, especially my son Axel, and he's 10. And we always make sure that we see the sunrise. And it's beautiful to go and work out where is the best spot to see the sunrise in the morning. And having that time is just amazing. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be 5. It doesn't have to be 6. It could be a holy hour at night. It doesn't really matter. It's more about just having that space for you and disconnect or reconnect yourself.
So it's kind of the perfect solution for people that don't have time. Get up earlier. Yes. Don't go on your phone. Yeah. Imagine how much time.
Yeah. And it's so, like, it feels, because no one else interrupts you as well. I don't have the kids interrupting in the morning because they're not up at 5. And there is no people who is ringing you, or you can spend time on emails, of course. You can spend the time on that 24/7 and social media, but I don't even look at it. So having that space for yourself, an hour feels a long time.
Mm. Okay, I'm convinced. I'm going to get up at 5 tomorrow. Is it Saturday tomorrow? Maybe not.
Monday. And you know what? And I don't do it every. I don't do it. Like there are times in my life, especially now because. I've traveled a lot. Sleep is my number one. So if I fall asleep at 1 a.m., I don't get up at 5. So it's really about tuning into yourself, what is important. But because I love my morning so much, for me, it's really important to get up because I just get so much out of it. So it's something that you get used to. But when you start getting up at 5, you're actually really tired at night. So you want to go to bed early. And I think I'm always been a little boring. My family always reminds me that I'm so boring when they come and visit me. They always remind me that I go to bed so early, but I'm like, yeah, but I'm up at 5. Yeah. So. And at the moment, because I'm jet lag here in London, I am up at 4. So now I feel like I have so many hours and you know, I don't have to be back at 7. I can do whatever I want. It's really nice.
Yeah, amazing. One of the conversations that we had before we started recording was about busyness, mm-hmm. and you mentioned your approach to not even using that word. Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely have been busy using that word in the past, and seen myself busy, but I decided not to use it. I don't know, I might have got it from someone else that told me about it, but I can't recall if that was the case and who that was. But I try never to use the word busy because you can get so busy in your mind. The word busy just gets me busy thinking about busy stuff. So I try never to use it. So I try to always say that I live a very full life. So when people, because there's a lot of people coming up to me saying, oh, I was watching on Instagram, you must be so busy. I'm like, yes. Well, I'd say, well, I'm not busy, but I live a very full life and I love that. So what I would decide to fill my days with, to be busy with, is the choices. And of course there are, my dream life is perfect, so there's always things that I want to change, and I call myself a self-improver. I always wanted to improve and learn, and I read so many books to get new ideas and new thoughts on how I can improve my life. But using the word busy just gets you busy, I think. And you often, like, if you stop using it yourself and then you hear so many other people, it's really nice to kind of step away, like, I'm not busy. I'm just living a full life, and I decide to fill it up with whatever I decide to fill it up with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've heard people say, if you're busy, your life is out of control, mm-hmm. and that's not a good way to be. And I think there's also this thing about busy being a badge of honour. Yeah. So I'm sure people say to you, you must be so busy, as if it's like it's an amazing thing to be so busy that you'll run off your feet, and it's a kind of an accolade or something.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it means that people burn out, or it means that people are anxious, or they don't see their loved ones. And actually, we need to not glamorise busyness and not put it up on this pedestal.
Yeah, someone asked me the other day, and I can't remember, but someone said, what is success for you? And success for me is not about having a global business or living the perfect life. Success for me is having the choice to do what you want to do and actually owning the choices that you make. So making sure that you live a life true to yourself. And sometimes, of course, there are always, I'm constantly thinking, oh, I'd like to improve that, and I always want to improve. But having the choice to spend the time how you want to spend it and who you want to spend it with, I think is the ultimate success for me.
Definitely. I think that's what makes us happiest. I'm sure I've read somewhere about what makes employees happy. It's having that autonomy over their lives, even if it's a little bit of control. And yeah, having that freedom, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely something to aim for. Absolutely. Who are some people that inspire you and why?
Oh, there's so many people who inspires me. I read so much. It's my kind of favorite thing to do. And I really only read personal development books and business books. I used to think that on holidays I shouldn't read it. And then when my girlfriend said once, I have this book group that I created as part of Living My Dream Life, was to start a book group. And I felt like I never really had the time because I traveled so much. I was thinking it's never going to work. I decided a few years ago that I was going to start, and I decided to just choose the ones that I want to have in my book group. So people who are into personal development groups, personal development books and business books, and often have their own businesses because it's something that you then can discuss. And all those women in that group inspires me because they're living their dream life, whatever that means to them. And the books that I read, all those people are inspiring me because they are sharing their knowledge. And I just find it fascinating that you can spend, you know, £10 or whatever it is here in the UK for a book. But to have someone's whole life experience or whole life work in a few hundred pages, and you can learn from that, is just incredible. And I absolutely love it. So everyone who writes a book inspires me. There are some women that inspires me more than others, and Arianna Huffington is definitely one of them. I just love how she's so direct, and she just has created, she's one of the most influential women, and she's all about, you know, living a non-burnout life and living a balanced life, whatever that is for each individual. So she's inspiring me a lot. And Stella McCartney here in London, I love how she's, you know, turning the fashion industry on its head and looking at sustainability and care for animals, and living her really values in an industry that is not really well known for that. So she inspires me. And in my book I have quite a few people, you know, Richard Branson. I love Richard Branson. I love him because he there's just no limits to his thinking, obviously, with his mission to go to space, and he was on an aeroplane once and thought it was really bad service, so he just decided to start Virgin Airlines. I just love that kind of way of thinking, that, you know, there is no limits. If you really want to do anything, you can. And he came also from, you know, not the perfect, you know, he wasn't perfect at school, or in dyslexia, is that how you say? So I always love hearing about people who might not have their first perfect path, because I think sometimes people use that as an excuse that they can't live their dream life because they had this past, or they are not good enough, or whatever. But I think in the end of the day, we can all do whatever we want to do if we really want to do it. So those people inspire me. And my partner, Paul, is definitely an inspiration, because he encouraged me to write down what was important to me many years ago. And here I am, 20 years later, and really living my dream life in the way that I love it. So, yes, lots of people inspire me. Yeah. And my kids inspire me, because kids are fascinating. I actually did a dreaming exercise for Axel's, my son's class. One of the guys said he wants to eat, one of his dreams was to go to Mars and eat pizza. And I was like, I love how kids don't have any limitations on dreams.
Yeah.
So my kids definitely is inspiring me as well, because they just think that they can do anything, which is really inspiring.
Yeah, we need that. We need that, don't we, for the future?
Yes.
That kind of thinking, definitely. What are some of the things that you do to keep calm when things are full in your life?
So on Sundays, I have a policy for myself and the family that we never book anything. And when I say never, it's not realistic because we do have family birthdays we have to attend. There might be some school things or trouble. But most Sundays, there is no breakfast to go to, no lunch, no dinner. And it's a day that is just whatever we want it to be. So I love spending time with family on Sundays, but I also love spending time. So I still get up early on Sundays. And I often go for a walk. And I love just having a day that I can do whatever I want. And sometimes I don't get out of my pajamas for the whole day. I do whatever I want. Like Sundays, I drink endless cups of teas. And I love cookbooks. I don't cook a lot. I do cook, but the amount of cookbooks that I have does not justify my skill of cooking. But I love looking at cookbooks because it's a creative. Like I often love the stories behind your recipes or the cookbook, and often they're healthy. So there's often inspiration to be healthy as well, and. And I just love looking at beautiful photography without, feeling creative without actually having to do anything, because obviously a lot of my work is creative, and you feel like you have to do something about it. But on Sundays, I just enjoy looking at cookbooks, thinking about what I want to eat, have breakfast for hours, drink lots of tea and lots of coffees, and just having a really lovely day. So that's one thing. I also if I have a really big week, a full week, that Sunday is, so I try to keep that even when I travel. So often on a Sunday, I would spend a whole day, depending on a little bit of weather and stuff, I often go for a walk, but I often would spend a whole day in bed, just read. So I always have at least 4 or 5 books with me when I travel, which is always add, and I hardly ever check in my luggage, so I need to be really clever on have the books with me, but I always have packs of paper books, and so on a Sunday I often just spend time reading even wherever I am in the world, and so that helps me knowing that that's always at the end of the week. My holy hour also gets me reflecting on keeping me calm, because there's so much reflection time in that time, and that gets me calm and set up for the day. And obviously meditation is really important, and exercise and nature. When I live in Sweden, so I live in Sweden July, August, September most of the years, and the rest I'm in Australia. And in Sweden, especially in that summer, the nature is just, that gets me, that gets me up if nothing else. I love spending time in nature. It just calms me down, and most of my ideas are actually created or coming up when I'm out walking. So that helps as well. And I do that wherever. So most mornings I would go for a walk. If I don't go to yoga class or something, I feel like that just really calms me down. And listening to podcasts, I find that really gets me inspired and back to what's important to me. So I often listen to lots of inspirational podcasts.
I love it. I love that idea of just taking Sunday off completely, because weekends can often seem more stressful than a working day, because you've got brunch, then you're meeting someone here, then you're picking people up. Then
yeah, and it's a thing. It's like, it has to be something really special to break that. Sometimes I have to go to sports things for kids or something, but it's often hardly ever out of pyjamas on Sundays, and I love that.
I might actually start doing that.
Yeah. And, sometimes I think it might not be possible for some people straight away, but sometimes it might just be like you have the first 3 hours at home, or there is something really, but it depends also, some of my friends think it's the most boring thing because they love brunch and they love catching up with people. So it depends, because I'm a bit of an introvert, so I need calm to re-energize myself. But it doesn't, whatever that is, it doesn't have to be like a whole Sunday. It could be like a few hours. It could be any day, or, you're in every Friday night or Monday night or whatever it is. Just really whatever suits each individual. But it's a good one. I love it.
I love the idea of just making that kind of regular time that you just don't do that, whether it is a Wednesday. Yeah. I don't go out on Wednesday night or something. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so final question for you.
Yes.
Even though I could listen to you all day. A quote that you mention in your book is, "Your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions." Mm-hmm. And that's attributed to Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
Why is visualization so powerful, do you think?
Oh, I think that's like, you know, when you start thinking about your dreams and you don't think they're possible because for whatever reason, but if you start visualizing them, like if they were possible, and you start visualizing yourself in those dreams, so if it is to write a book and you just don't think that's possible, or if you want to start a business or a blog or whatever it is, start visualizing that, because then it just feels more familiar. You know, I feel like I visualize my dreams such that when I'm kind of achieving them, I feel like I've already done it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. And similar visualization, but also similar to have like a vision board to be reminded. I think many people write down New Year's resolution. There's a lot of studies on that. New Year's resolution is like within 5 or 7 days or whatever, people forget them or are not doing them anymore. And I think we sometimes forget what is important to us, because there are other priorities, or that there are other people's priorities perhaps. Mm. And having a vision board to remind you every day why you want to do things. So for example, if you want to become really fit, that was one of my dreams, 1 year to be the fittest ever. I had a vision board where there was like loads of quotes on fitness and pictures of really fit people, and just reminded me that's what I want to do. So visualize it, it's really important, I think.
I love that idea of just making it familiar. You know, if it's familiar, then it's more achievable, and it's in your mind then, yeah. Isn't it? And it's kind of, yeah, just keeping that vision there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make it so much more likely to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
I love this conversation.
And I love your work and your book. And can you tell people where people can find your book? Obviously, your stores. And
yeah, stores online. And online. So kiki-k.com. /dreamlife. There's a free audio guide that I have actually recorded. So if people want to start dreaming straight away, I have there's 2 files that is free to access that I have guided questions, like asking similar questions, you know, what would you do if you couldn't fail, and other questions that might trigger some dreams. So that's a good way to start. And then obviously this in bookshops and online bookstores, but also Kiki K website, and then also have my podcast, Your Dream Life Starts Here, and that's also amazing because you were on it, so it's very exciting.
Amazing, thank you so much. No. And just for people listening, just wanting to say, just give yourself this gift of dreaming and thinking outside of the box, and give yourself permission to expand your horizons and take that time for yourself. So I really hope people listening are going to check this out and get your audio and your book.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all that you do, and thank you for having me, and I'm excited to see what both of us create in our dream lives.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for listening. Let me know what you thought of this episode. I think you're going to be taking a lot from this. I really hope you will. You can let me know over on Instagram at Chloe Brotheridge. And don't forget, if you haven't already, you can get a free anxiety busting toolkit, which contains a powerful guided meditation, an affirmations audio, worksheets, group support, loads of things in there that can help you to live a calmer life. And you can get that by heading over to my website, calmeryou.com/free. And that's calmer spelled C-A-L-M-E-R, not as in karma, good karma, bad karma, which some people think it is, but it's calmeryou.com/free. And as always, please do subscribe to this podcast if you have enjoyed it and you want to hear future episodes. And if you really liked it, you could consider leaving a review to spread the word about this podcast. And if you've got a friend that needs this in their life, please do take a screen grab and share it with them as well. Thank you so much for listening. I'm wishing you a really great week. I'm sending you loads of love, and I hope you'll join me again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.